Would you join me in responsive reading number 597? O God, our Heavenly Father, who did send your own Son to save the whole world, the poor as well as the rich, the non-religious as well as the religious, the ignorant as well as the educated, the untrained and uncouth as well as the cultured. We pray today for those who work for you among all peoples, those who labor here at home, those who struggle to manifest your love in distant lands. Help us to celebrate today and join with them in your work so that your people everywhere may come to know your love and share the joy of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Give strength today to those who are terrified by fears. Relieve those who are afflicted by poverty, harassed by circumstance, worn down by illness. Raise up those from among us, those of your servants who will share out of compassion, who will sacrifice out of love, who will risk out of faith, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In 1968, Virginia and I came home to the United States on our first furlough as missionaries, I wanted to study in a particular university in the United States, in the American University in Washington, D.C. I didn't have any friends there, any contacts. I didn't have any money, and I needed to know someone. I don't recall who told me to go see Brady Tyson. I did. He at the time was professor of international relations and Latin American studies in the School of International Service at the American U in D.C. There began there a friendship which has matured over the years as I have worked with him and studied under him and admired his contribution to Christ's cause around the world. And I am delighted that he is here on our campus today and will deliver our missionary message. Dr. Tyson was reared in San Antonio and Houston, Texas. He graduated from Rice University and from Perkins School of Theology in Dallas. He served in Texas as a pastor for 5 years, and after this enrolled in American U in the graduate school, where in 4 years he received his PhD in international relations. That same year he went to Brazil along with his wife as missionaries appointed by the Methodist Church. And he studied for 1 year in Campinas, the language, the Portuguese language, and after this he served as a pastor in Sao Paulo and as chaplain to the universities of that very, very magnificent and large city in Latin America. In 1966, because of his involvement with and work with students, the military government, which had come to power in 1964, forced him to leave, along with his wife, Jean. He spent a year as professor of political science at the Southampton College on Long Island, and then was called to come back to his alma mater in Washington as professor of international relations and Latin American studies at American University. Very soon after his arrival in Washington, he became closely associated with Martin Luther King, and after Dr. King's death, with the Poor People's Campaign. He still identifies with the poor. Last year, he was invited by the ambassador of the United States, ambassador to the United Nations, Andrew Young, to come as a foreign affairs officer with the U.S. mission to the UN. And during this last year, he has been a member of the delegation on the Human Rights Commission meeting in Geneva. He will leave Saturday for Geneva for another session of that commission. He has served on the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and also as a member of the delegation to the UN Assembly. Dr. Tyson, we are delighted to have you in Southeastern Seminary on our campus to know our students and to bring the missionary message.
I recall nearly 30 years ago, my first class in seminary. And it began for me in a completely beautiful and unexpected way, for I had just graduated from a highly competitive liberal arts secular institution, Rice. It began with the professor saying, "Let us pray." And so I take advantage of one of the few occasions that I have each year to be in a community of believers and to lead the meditation or the discussion by indulging myself in the same way. Let us pray. O our Father, thou who knowest the meditations of our hearts and our minds, do thou draw near to us just now and lead us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that that which is in us, which ought to be, can be brought to light, and that that is in us, that is the power of evil, be contained, that thy glory be undiminished. Our Father, we pray that thou wouldst take us, each of us, all of us, and make us as putty in thy hands. Mold us and make us after thy will, that we might reflect in our lives, in our words, in our thoughts, and our deeds, thy will for us. Make us attentive to the leading of thy Spirit. Make us attentive to the leading of thy Spirit in our own lives, that in the moments of silence and reflection, that we heed not other voices, but that we still ourselves to listen to the still small voice within. Make us attentive to the leading of thy Holy Spirit in the lives of people around us, that we might know that from everyone we can learn something if we will but attune our hearts and ears to listen to thee in them. Make us attentive to the leading of thy Holy Spirit in the march of events around us, so that we do not read a newspaper nor hear a newscast, but that we see thy hand struggling mighty for the liberation of all peoples and to bring justice to the world. Make us attentive to the leading of thy Holy Spirit just now, so that this hour might be used for some holy purpose, and that it might leave us all enriched, not because of the wisdom or learning of the speaker, God knows, nor even because of the beauty of the hymns or of the anthem, because thou art here, and this is holy ground, and thou dost have a message, perhaps a different message, for each of us. We thank thee for thy presence here this morning, and we are content with thy guidance. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. What is a missionary? A missionary is a pilgrim. A missionary is one who is, first of all, at home in the world and has learned to accept both him or herself and the world. Secondly, a missionary is one who is sent from being at home in the world to being an outsider in the world, to being a stranger in the world. One who discovers and accepts oneself and one's limitations, who knows one's culture, who accepts one's institution with all of its failures and all of its weaknesses, accepts the limitations of language that both enlightens and binds us, language that is itself a human creation, and the most noblest and yet limiting way in which we can know and communicate. To be at home with language, to be at home with culture, to be at home with family, to be at home with oneself is the first prerequisite of being sent. Because a missionary cannot be a person who is running away. A missionary must, on the one hand, avoid sanctifying one's own culture, making it into something that it's not, and on the other hand, avoid rejecting it because of the sudden shock of disillusionment of discovering its imperfections. A missionary must be at home. What does that mean for us? That means that we have to accept the beauty and the glory of being part of a congregation, a worshiping congregation, a community of faith, for this is our home. And this is the basic place from which we're sent. When we gather together in the Lord's name and share with one another the bread of life and receive the renewing power of the Holy Spirit, that's home. And it would be pleasant to contemplate the possibility of finding a mountaintop and there erecting a tabernacle and staying. But we're sent from that, to go down from the mountaintop back into the valleys, back into the world. And it would also be pleasant to imagine that there's something that's inherent in the congregation itself, or in the building itself, or in the name of the denomination itself, or in the ritual or the songs. All of those things that are so much a part of that beautiful experience. Rather than acknowledging that what makes it beautiful is the presence of God. And the temptation is to think that home is perfect and that outside is them and inside is us. But no, being at home and being at home is not the same thing as not knowing what home is like. And not knowing that it's made up of people and of weaknesses, that it's made up of sin and fallibility, that it's made up of pride and vanity too. So when we leave home to go down into the world, we do not leave with the sense that we are taking something of us, but with the sense that we're taking something of Him. Because it's not the church that will save the world, and it's not that little bit of community that we've experienced in our life, which is, after all, only a foretaste of the glory to come. That is the real. We've sensed the real, that's true. But also we know that God has nowhere left Himself without a witness, and that all people in some way or the other have sensed the real and the beautiful and the true. And though they may not know the name of it, they've sensed it. And though we only partially understand it and think sometimes we know the name of it, and maybe even sometimes think that we've captured part of it in some creed or some dogma or some ritual, or some hymn, or some moment, we haven't captured it at all. Because the Lord is other, and it is He who sends us, and not we ourselves. So the first task of the missionary is to be at home, and the second task is to leave home. And the third task is to have a purpose, for one does not go in the world just to be going. One must have a sense of sentness, a sense of something to do there. What is that sense? Well, that sense comes to every person. And I suppose the biggest struggle of my life is to realize that that sense changes, that God has different tasks for different times, and different tasks for different peoples, and different tasks for different persons. And that God is perfectly able and willing to change orders in the middle of the stream. Sometimes we hear selectively the voice of God, that we hear God calling us to do what's convenient, but not what's inconvenient. We hear God calling us to do the task for which we can find reinforcement, and not the task where we struggle alone. Or we hear God calling us to do a task that gives us some ego gratification, instead of the task that denies real sacrifice. And God does call us to do sometimes things that are popular, and sometimes things that are satisfying, and sometimes things that for which we can find real support from other people and from the church and from the community of believers. But now and then, upon all of us, He lays a cross. And I suppose that we all agree that one of the basic decisions of every Christian is to decide that when the cross comes, when the call comes to take up a cross and to do something that's unpopular, to stand against the stream, to deny one's ego, to refuse the support that demands conformity in one way or another, we made the decision beforehand to do it. That it'll come as a matter of second nature to accept the Lord's call. The fourth characteristic of a missionary or of a pilgrim is to be in the world, but not of it. This world is not our home. We're only passing through. We've learned to love the world. And love the world we should, for God so loved the world, but not to belong to it. And this means not that we have a sense of superiority or even much of a sense of being different. It's just that we hear a different drummer, listen to a different music, and have a different set of values. Now, I consider myself a professional, sophisticated, hard-nosed missionary, working right now in one of the most difficult of all fields, called the Department of State. And it is a constant shock to me to discover that camaraderie, friendship, shared tasks lead to the easy assumption that basic values are the same. For 20 of the first 25 years of my ordination, I worked in one function or another on campuses, usually as a professor. And I find it easy, coming out of that gentle Southwest folk culture of Texas, to make friends, even on East Coast campuses. And I find it fascinating how easy it is for most people to assume that just because you like a person, that your values are the same. Or that contrary, if your values are different, that you can't like each other. But I'm called to be a missionary on campuses, or was called once to be a missionary in Brazil, or am now called to be a missionary in government service, living in New York City. And I feel myself under orders to like people, to be interested in what they're interested in, to listen to what they want to talk about, to draw them out, to let them find their open road for questing and searching. And yet I find that from most people I'm different, that I hear a different voice, that I have different hopes and goals, that only rarely when I gather with friends, new and old, in a place like this, do I...